Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Downton Abbey Season 5, Episode 9, A Moorland Holiday.
Yes, the end of Season 5.
Yay!
We're very happy. We are very happy. And we're happy about a lot of things about this episode, so I'm excited to actually be talking about this one. There have our usual caveats and disclaimers and things like that, where there's going to be cursing. There will be spoilers, I'm sure, because we just can't help it.
Well, especially this episode introduced a lot of plot lines, and I'll probably give away my feelings about some of those plot lines.
Might be squealing could happen.
Well, that happened while we were watching them,
And we are having things to drink. Natalie, what are you having to drink?
I'm having Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that sounds sad.
What?
It just sounds sad. So
what else was I going to have?
I don't know. It just sounds like not creative. Like you should have made a mocktail.
Well, Mom, I don't have a Downton Abbey mocktail book.
Even if you did, would you have done it?
It would have taken a lot of effort, but maybe.
Maybe you have other mocktail books you haven't used. So never mind.
No, I don't.
You do so. There's
well, the Disney one, but that's not going to go with anything. And they have complicated ingredients.
A lot of these have complicated ingredients, and I did it anyway. So I did the Donk cocktail because I think that's an appropriate title for one in this episode, and also because of things going on with Robert in this episode. It contains 3 ounces of ruby port, some lemon juice, seltzer water, and a tiny splash of whiskey. And it's good. I almost would have liked to just have the glass of ruby port, but because I have the cocktail book, I'm doing things with the cocktail book, and someday I'm going to let go of the cocktail book and we'll move on.
Well, we have only 9 episodes left in the series after this, so
that's true.
I think you'll live.
So let's get started. What are our sections for this episode?
Our sections are Anna and Bates. Carson and Hughes.
Foreshadowing.
Violet, Lord Cinderby, which covers a lot. Robert, Danka, and Isabel.
Let's get rid of Danka.
No, let's get rid of Isabel. Isabel's really, really fast.
Oh, that's true.
So Isabel talks to Dickie and about like her concerns about their engagement, and she says that she will not break it off with him as long as she gets Larry and whatever the fuck his name is, other guy, to not necessarily apologize, but for at least for them to change their views on her so they're not so against her. Because honestly, they all live up separately. It doesn't really matter if they get along all that well.
Right.
But she wants to feel welcome to a certain extent. And so she just doesn't want to like put everyone's teeth on edge by just being there. And so she basically says that to Dickie, and Dickie's like, all right, well, I'm going to talk to Larry and what's his face, and we're going to figure something out. So Larry sends her a letter that basically says, nope.
Stop asking him to ask us to do this because you're embarrassing yourself is basically how it reads. It's like, damn, fuck you, Larry.
Yeah, I know it's bad. But it's
terrible.
Yeah, he's awful. But yeah, it's not good. And so he basically does that, and then Isabel's like, well, that's that, I'm afraid. And so she goes to Dickie and basically breaks off the engagement. It's very sad. It's very disappointing. And yeah, it's just sad.
Violet acknowledges that and is very kind about it. So that's pretty great.
Sure. But yeah, that's Isabel. I guess we can talk about Danka if you really want to.
Danka.
Either Danka or Violet.
Well, let's segue into Violet because that's quicker, and then that will segue into Danka. So there we go. So Violet sets up a meeting. The princess has been found. The Russian formerly known as princess has been found in Hong Kong. She has been brought back to England, and Violet arranges for the Russian formerly known as prince to meet her at Violet's house. And she hosts a dinner, and the dinner includes Dickie and Isabel. The idea being that the princess formerly, or the Russian formerly known as princess, will behave better if there are other people present. And so she shows up, she is being played by Philip's mother from The Crown.
Princess Alice
from The Crown, the same actress. She is younger and more foreboding in this.
I don't know about that much younger, but yeah.
Well, she appears somewhat. She appears more foreboding, definitely,
Sure.
and imperious. And she gets ugly with Violet. She's not clearly unhappy with the Russian formerly known as Prince, but and the Russian formerly Prince is still kind of like, hey, Violet, we can still make this happen. You just let her go on her way to Paris, and you and I run off somewhere. And Violet's like,
Yeah.
nope,
You
not
and
doing it.
reunited with your wife, you're like, yeah, nope. So she refuses, and then later on, like towards the very, very end of the episode, Violet finally tells Isabel the story. So basically what happened is that they met at the ball where he gave her the fan, and in the weeks, well, I don't
It
even
was
know, it
weeks,
was
yeah, it was weeks,
weeks.
definitely.
I guess if you're going to be get to Russia, especially back then, you're going to stay for a while to make it worth it. And so they would go to all these different balls and sneak off at midnight to go skating, and they would just like have all these secret moments together, both of them very much married and
But very much in love with each other.
sure. And so I just can't get behind affairs. But
I
even
understand.
if it's like, oh, but we're in love, I'm like, no, just break things off. It's just no. I have a lot of strong feelings about that. But so it got to the point where they were like, well, how about we elope? Even though we are both married in the eyes of both God and the law, we're going to elope and it will work. This is not Utah. Like, I don't know what you're expecting to
So
happen.
there's a midnight carriage ride. They're going to go to the formal Russian formerly known as Prince's yacht,
Yacht.
and
I just love that it's
somehow Violet's maid at the time disclosed to the former now former princess
yacht. Russian formerly known as Princess.
that this was going on. The princess former princess sends people after well, goes after them, catches up with the carriage, rips Violet out of the carriage like by her hair and everything else,
I can't blame her though.
no, and kind of throws her in the snow and says, "Take
No,
it, take
throws her
it."
into the cab.
But still, there's some
And
snow involved. There's got to be snow.
regardless, and so and sent her back to Lord Grantham.
Sure.
And Violet is grateful for that because or otherwise she would have like lost her husband, her life, her children. I mean, it everything would have been different, and they would have been on the run for so long,
Well,
and
and
it would have just been ugly.
Isabel pointed out that the former Russian formerly known as Princess saved Ma saved Violet because Violet admits within a week I was grateful. Like
Yeah.
I knew I shouldn't have done any of that. But you know, at the time it just seemed very exciting and whatever. And
Sure,
so
but yeah, don't do that. And
So Isabel points out that she saved you and now you have saved her.
so you're even.
Yay.
And
Karma.
yeah.
Yeah,
So yeah, that's Violet. Let's go to Jenka now. I'm
dang
this
it.
isn't the one part of the, well one of the many parts of the season and the next season, just like a character I can't get behind, much like an Ethel, a Bunting,
She's not
an
like.
Edna. Like it's not the same.
No,
She's
it's
supposed to
not.
just be a comedic character. She's not You're not supposed to not like her, even though I think we're supposed to like Bunting. Either way, I think that she's just I hate her. I don't like her. And I don't like that. I especially don't like that they added the whole context of her using Andy last episode. And so I hate her even more. And it's just, she's just not a good person. And she, I can understand butting heads with Sprat if you were just like even a sane person. Like if you were just not going to jump to his bidding, that's one thing that would just make him mad and that would make sense. But her actively just being such a dick to him. I'm
To
just,
everybody, it
yeah.
seems like, except for
Violet,
Violet.
of course. But it's just, it's so weird. And I'm just like, how, why, what are you trying to
So
do?
what this culminates in this episode is that Daika says something like, "Oh, you know, if you're not feeling well, I could make you broth," even
She
though.
doesn't even say that. Her, what happens is Violet sees this one little, like, thing that holds like soup, but it was like a broth, like bowl, something. I don't know.
Bouillon
That
bowl.
something. I don't know. But her old lady's maid used to make her broth whenever she didn't feel well, and it reminded her of that. And then and she's like, well, the days of a lady's maid being able to do that are gone. Will Sprat says that those days are gone. And then Dank is like, oh, well, I don't agree. And then Sprat takes that as, oh, you can cook. And then Violet's just like, well, you can cook. I mean, and then Sprat's just
This is going
keeps.
way too long. So the long and
I
short
know
of it.
Sprat is trying to challenge Danka to make a good broth, and Danka can't cook. So you know the same plot that we reused at least now three times. She goes to Mrs. Patmore, and
And Daisy. And Daisy actually makes the broth and takes it over there because despite several attempts, Deckard just can't get it. And so Sprat discovers that Daisy has brought broth. Sprat pours it out. Danka has to make broth because she was pretending to make broth. It is terrible, but Violet's like, oh, delicious. Well, I don't think we have room for that on our menu. And that's basically
she basically
that.
just says, Sprat, let's not have this animosity anymore. It's ridiculous.
Right.
And so that's basically that. All right. If I get, all right. The ones we have left, I guess we can do Robert. We have Anna and Bates, Carson and Hughes, Violet, Lord Cinderby, and Robert. I think we should save Lord Cinderby for last. Let's
Okay.
do Robert
Okay,
next.
yeah. So Robert early in the episode has a meeting or an appointment
New York.
in York, and it turns out it's a medical appointment.
He might
He
have angina.
might have angina. He's concerned because he's not been feeling good. He's been having pains in his chest and his stomach. It comes in the context of the Anna and Bates stuff, but it
Not
really
really.
it starts there. They get to Brancaster for the shooting. He's continuing to have pains that keep coming up, and Cora's like, nope, no more, whatever. He eventually goes back to the doctor for because he's had some tests done. The doctor says, nope, what you have is an ulcer. And so they get all over him about thou shalt not eat bad things, you're not going to drink anymore.
At
And
least for the
he'll
next few months until Christmas.
right. So he resolves not to drink until Christmas Eve. And so on Christmas Eve, he gets drunk, like seriously drunk, and is almost embarrassing the whole family. Although at the end, he does give a very nice speech about Branson,
Because he's leaving.
because Branson is leaving. And the very nice speech, he seems almost sober, and Cora's impressed, like, wow, you didn't even seem drunk. He's like, well, I was trained as a soldier,
Concentration.
concentration. It's very cute.
Yeah.
But I would point out that there are some things that involve Branson and the children and stuff like that, and that will explain why I have a donk cocktail. But
Well, we can
is that
just
a
do that
section?
now. No, it's not a section.
Oh, okay.
Why would it
So,
be a section?
well, because it is a big deal that Branson's leaving,
Yeah,
and
but we already knew that.
well, but it is one of the nicer parts of this episode,
Well,
is
here's the
everyone
thing.
kind
They
of
don't really.
rallying around him.
Yeah, but they don't really focus on Tom that much, even though it's his like la supposedly like his last hurrah. Like
Well, they sort of do though. He kind of comes to the rescue with the singing and the speeches and that kind of stuff. He's
it
very,
still
very
doesn't feel like a
sweet.
send-off.
They have a little prayer for Sybil in the nursery when they're hanging the children's stockings. It's Mary and Edith
Oh,
and Rob and Branson.
yeah.
Robert overhears it, and he admits that he's upset about them leaving. Branson's had a number of talks with Sibby, and they have a discussion about, oh, what's Marigold going to call Robert? And Sibby's like, Donk! I have to say, little Sibby
Little
is
Sibby's a
like,
good
she's
actor.
a great actor. She's really, really
Yeah,
good.
I was being a little bit mean and being like, well, Marigold's actress isn't that good. But again, she's a toddler. But when you compare her to like Sibby, even George does a really good job, but he doesn't really get anything. But George has a little bit more in the next season. But Sibby, she's just great. She's charming. She has the cutest little voice. It's a little British accent. It's terrible. Either way, so another thing with Robert is that he confronts Edith about Marigold, and he's like, oh yeah, no, she looks like Michael Gregson. Anything you want to tell me? And you just like, I can't give her up. And he's like, I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying, I know. And Tom also goes to Edith and is just like, hey, I know it's your daughter. I'm not an idiot. And again, this is why
Right.
you shouldn't keep
Right.
it
So
from
the
the
only
family.
person who's not
Or
officially
supposedly
in the
in the
know.
dark is Mary.
Right.
And Mary isn't an idiot either, but she's not paying attention to Edith, so it
Because
doesn't
she's
matter.
just
She doesn't
Mary.
care.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's basically that. Let's talk about Anna and Bates, then we'll do Carson and Hughes, and then we'll do Lord Cinderby.
Oh, Anna and Bates.
Well, Lord Cinderby is going to be the ch biggest chunk.
Right.
But Anna and Bates, let's go really quick to streamline this. I took forever on the other one, that Violet's, or someone else's, Dankus. And so I'm not, let's streamline this. So
Okay.
basically, what happens is that they find something in Anna's past. She's in prison right now. They found something in her past where she had to defend herself from her stepfather with a knife, like cut
This
him just
makes
a little bit.
no sense since
Who fucking
well,
cares?
it's not that. It's the way she describes it. Anna's mother convinced the stepfather to report Anna, defending herself with a knife as an accident and that he fell. And so
They found this
there's,
how?
yeah, exactly. How would you find this out? The only report is, hey, stepdad had an accident. I mean, there's no report that would say that it had anything to do with any kind of
Anna.
child molestation or a sexual assault where she gets violent afterwards or something. There's nothing like that.
Unless Anna was just like, oh, I did it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and there's no evidence of that in the episode. So what the fuck? Anyway, so the prosecution feels like, hey, they've got a pretty good case with
It could
motive,
be
opportunity.
inadmissible, but it, like if they can't figure something out,
Right.
but like
And something
still.
like that in the right circumstances could be admissible if it actually, you had evidence of it, but it doesn't even sound like they have that. But whatever.
Because they don't even have
So,
a report.
right.
Either way, so basically they find that out and it's not looking good. And Murray telephones Bates and they have set a date for Anna's trial. So Bates starts freaking out. And so he thinks it's a jolly good idea to just confess to the crime to get Anna out of there,
By
which
letter,
by letter
and disappear.
and disappear to Ireland. And he only leaves instructions to contact him with Robert. And Robert and Cora both agree, yeah, we're going to keep this from the police.
Right. But Mr. Mosley and Baxter overhear that this is what Bates has done, is that he's confessed to this crime that everybody knows he didn't commit. And so
And Anna
he,
gets out.
and Anna gets released because of it
Well, because of
on
confession,
bail, because of the confession. And both Baxter and Mosley, when Mosley gets
a picture.
Bates's picture, he and Baxter spend their free days going to York trying to find the pub where Mr. Bates had lunch on the day of the murder. And they finally do. They went to like 60 of 70 pubs in Yorkshire.
I thought they said 16.
Still, it's still a lot. But they just went through a ton of pubs and finally found the pub owner remembered Mr. Bates and gives a good description of him, and says, yeah, no, he was definitely in my pub that day.
Yeah.
And they're like, yay. And so that information is given to Murray, and basically Bates is allowed to come back from Ireland, and he arrives on Christmas at the big
Surprises
Christmas
Anna.
do and surprises Anna, and it's actually very sweet.
That is sweet. All right, let's do Carson and Hughes.
Yay!
So Carson and Hughes are house searching for their Airbnb. And so they're I'm just gonna keep calling them Airbnb. It's just
Okay,
easier.
whatever.
So they're looking and they kind of like go to different houses while the family is up at Brancaster Castle. And Carson eventually is just like, I think we should take the one on like Branker Road or something.
Whatever. Okay.
And but Hughes eventually is just like, yeah, no, actually, I don't have
The
any
money.
money to a disposable income because I have to take care of my secret sister who's in an asylum. And
Which is sad. I
it's
mean,
sad, but I'm just like, where the fuck did this come from?
exactly. How is it that nobody knows? Like, you've never visited her?
Well, no, I think
I
she
mean,
mentioned that she has a sister in like first season when she was talking to that one guy, the
yeah,
farmer.
but there's
That
like
doesn't
not, she
matter.
never goes and visit. I mean, like,
Who
okay,
fucking
whatever.
cares? You don't. Anyway, I don't want to assume, but I don't.
Oh,
So,
you don't. There you go.
she's like, sorry, I didn't tell you sooner. But Carson feels bad. She feels bad for keeping it from him. Which again, like you got his hopes up. You were literally actively planning to buy a house, and then you're like, never mind, I can't. And so it's kind of awkward for both of you.
Right, and he basically is kind of rethinking his life kind of thing, and he feels sorry for her. He thinks what her sacrifice has been noble, that kind of thing. And at the end, toward the end of this episode, he says, "Oh yeah, I'm buying a house. We'll have a closing on it, whatever."
In both of our
Because,
names.
but he tells her, "No, I bought it in both of our names," and she's like, "Well, I don't want you to be stuck with me." He's like, "No, I want to be stuck with you." And they finally get to it's a proposal of marriage, and she says, "Of course, I'll say yes, you big booby."
You old booby, I thought you'd never ask.
That's not very romantic, I don't think, but
Well,
still.
I also like I think it's very them, but at the same time, I kind of wish that like they gave them like a kiss on the cheek or something.
Something,
Like they
yeah.
just stand there like holding their drinks, like great. It's just
Yeah,
like
like,
what?
yeah.
I understand maybe not doing like a passionate kiss. I mean that's fine, but
Well,
like,
and she's super vague and like actually
well,
accepting him.
yeah.
She's
She's like, well, let's cheers to the fact that I can still get a
we didn't
proposal
press
at
on
my age. And then
it.
he's like, and that's a yes.
Yes. How? What are we
I
celebrating
feel
here?
bad. I feel
Yeah, I
bad
do
for
too.
Carson.
I do too.
Anyway.
That's cute.
So yeah, Carson and Mrs. Hayes are engaged now, and that's going to
Yeah.
be a big part of season six.
And we love that.
And we
So
love that for
that's
them.
good.
So next is Lord Cinderby, which encompasses basically all of Brancaster Castle.
Right. Now, I gotta start with Brancaster is
Oh, gorgeous.
beautiful. It is this huge, huge property. And the castle itself is very majestic and all of those things.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go as chronologically as possible because that's the only way I'll keep any of this straight.
Okay.
So they arrive and they find out that Stoll, who is Lord Cinderby's butler,
Who is
came
played
with
by,
the
I get
guy
them both.
who played Thénardier on the on like
In
Broadway or
Les
something
Mis,
in Les Mis.
yeah, and
Okay.
he looks menacing and a little creepy.
Sure.
I
So he, sorry to this actor,
think
but
it's on purpose. I think it's great.
either way, he was brought from their household because he wants to give orders to his butler, even though his butler apparently doesn't like him based off of like all the gossip around the servants' hall and to Rose. And so they said the whole family's there. Atticus and Rose are there, all of that stuff. Atticus is also invited for like one day of the shooting and for like to stay overnight. He invited his friend Charlie Rogers and the agent, Bertie Pelham. And so basically, the deal with this castle is that it's not theirs. They are kind of they let it out for the shooting in the season because the Lord Hexham, who is the Marquis of Hexham, is out of the country. I think he's in South Africa,
Yeah.
and he
No,
often
North
is
Africa. He's not like
in North
Morocco,
Africa.
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got wrong. Either way, I was thinking of the country of South Africa, but he's out and about. He's rarely ever at home, so the house doesn't keep full staff, that kind of thing. So it's all hands to the pump. And so they are just kind of going through things. They're having fun. And then they realize that Stoll's being very, very rude to Tom, like completely ignoring that he exists. And they constantly are telling him, hey, pay attention to the fact that this guy is here.
Right, like he won't serve him wine. He won't serve him rolls. I mean, he's just terrible. And it's really apparent.
He won't give him milk with his
Atticus,
coffee.
yeah, I mean, Atticus notices, Mary
Everyone
notices.
notices.
I mean, it's just really bad.
Even like Lord Cinderby, who's not a big Tom's like number one fan, notices and tells him to stop being such a snob. And so what happens is that Mary gets very upset with how Tom is being treated and how Stoll's just treating everybody. And so she tells Baxter, who is looking after her since Anna is not there. She basically tells Baxter, hey, is there any way that Thomas could just kind of fuck him up a bit and just like make him look bad? I wouldn't
mind. We all know Thomas is conniving.
Yeah.
Get Thomas on it.
So what happens is Baxter goes to Thomas, and Thomas is like, yeah, I wouldn't mind knocking him down a peg as long as Lord Cinderby can get caught in crossfires. And Baxter's like, yeah, she doesn't care about Lord Cinderby. And so what he does is he sends a fake note from Cinderby's valet to the cook to give Lord Cinderby an insulting meal that's
just plain. Not plain. It's very bland.
I don't even know. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's a plain dish while everyone else is getting served this extravagant meal.
Right.
And he yells at Stoll, then he yells at Thomas to bring him some, to clear his plate and all that stuff, calling him like a stupid fool. Mm-hmm. And so Thomas doesn't take kindly to that. So he's going to go the extra mile.
And
so
he does.
He goes to Stoll and he's just like, hey, he gets him basically drunk, mm-hmm. and just is like, so tell me about Lord Cinderby. He sucks, doesn't he? And so apparently he sucks and blows, and he knocks somebody up, and so,
and Stoll knows exactly who it is. Thomas gets the information out of Stoll. He telegrams the woman to bring the child
from London.
From London to Brancaster.
And so she comes in, and Rose notices Lord Cinderby's very upset when she comes in with the child. And it's like a toddler. So this was not that long ago in the grand scheme of things. Right. Atticus is older, obviously, than the child. So this is not, this is pretty recent-ish.
Yeah.
And so Rose is like, tell me your name and I will save you. Please just tell me your name. And she acts like it's her old friend, Diana. And
she pulls Mary and
Robert into it to like make it seem like she's been to Downton, right, and all that stuff. So they're able to do that. And Atticus is like, I didn't know you had a friend named Diana. And she's just like, yeah, this is her. I'm sure she told Atticus later, but like in front of everybody. Well, no, okay, yeah, no, she definitely didn't. She definitely didn't tell Atticus. I'm sure she did. No, absolutely not. She couldn't tell Atticus. That'd be awful.
It would.
Either way, that's another question. Like, would you tell Atticus?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's my secret to tell.
I don't know that it is either. So, Rose saves the day.
And
Lord Cinderbury is really, really grateful. I mean,
puts in a gramophone so they can dance.
Right. And Robert pulls him aside and he's like, she'll love you forever if you let her. And he's like, yeah, I should have seen that. God, I feel like a moron. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that makes him kinder toward her. And it's especially important since Atticus and Rose are going to be going to New York.
Yeah, for Atticus's new job.
Right.
So that's that. So in the meanwhile, Charlie Rogers has his friend staying over. His name, I keep wanting to say it's Tony. It's not. It's Henry Talbot.
He's Tony on the crown. It's confusing.
That's confusing. Those eyes, though, man. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. He's so much more likable here.
Yes, much. And of course, this is where we saw him first.
Yes, so it is. So I was like, ooh, he's playing Tony. Tony must be a great guy. And I was like, no, he's not. He's the worst. Anyway, so basically what happens is that Atticus has to stay out of the hunt day because there are too many people. Mm-hmm. And Mary decides to stick with
Henry.
And also the last guy was Tony. And it's fuck. Okay.
So yeah, Mary's with Henry during the shooting. She's basically being snotty to him. Like, oh, you pushed in. You're
I
terrible.
Hope you know that Atticus isn't shooting today because of you.
And he's like, oh my God, like, I didn't know. But at the same time, you know, she's like, oh my, and she's so snobbish. She's like, oh, I bet you've never shot. And he's like, well, not at this level, no. But then he like shoots everything.
Yeah.
So he's good at it. She's kind of like,
he's impressed. And then he's very observant. So when he saw what was going on with Diana, he's like, so what was going on there?
Why,
like,
are you hiding this?
Why are you hiding that? And she's just like, I won't tell you, but I applaud you for like seeing that there was something wrong.
Yes. All of your questions are good questions.
Yes. But I'm not going to answer any of them. Right. And she even like asked, hey, if you're ever in Yorkshire, come see us, whatever. One of the chair covers just came off. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
No, there's also something with Edith.
So, I was about to get to Edith.
Okay.
So Edith is, you know, she's feeling a little bit better since she's had this chat with Robert. And on the same day that Henry
Henry also, he drives cars for a living. He's a race car driver.
Yeah. Go ahead. Snappy chariot.
And it's important to note that Mary, like, he did ask about, hey, is your husband one of the shooters? And she's, well, first of all, if she, her husband was one of the shooters, she'd probably be with him. Unless they have a bad relationship. But she's about to tell him how he died instead. And like, she's like, oh yeah, no, he was a good shot. And then he's like, oh, the war took people from everybody. And then she's just like, no, he didn't die in the war, but she doesn't get the chance to tell him how he died. So this car thing is going to be interesting.
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Edith.
So on the same day that Henry and Charlie show up, the agent, Bertie Pelham,
mm-hmm.
Which led to much squealing.
I love Bertie.
Shows up. He's the agent for Brancaster, and we find
he's out also in The Crown.
Right.
He's the junior
Michael.
Yeah, Michael, junior staff secretary guy.
Right. So she is Edith's asking a bunch of questions, and she finds out that Bertie is a distant relation to the current lord. She's like, he's like third cousin. But he's in line.
He's technically in line, but right, only in really in name.
He's grown up at Brancaster. He's very familiar with, you know, all of the features, that kind of stuff. And he's very, very sweet. He jokes around with her.
Nice.
They have good chemistry. It's very easy.
Yeah.
And you can see that, which is generally not true for Edith. So
yeah,
that's actually really
nice. Michael Grexon, it was still a little bit awkward, but mm-hmm. like, but this is just like, it's nice.
Yeah. So, and when there's dancing, you know, she and Bertie dance, and same with Mary and Henry, and you start to say, things that make you go,
It's sweet.
It is sweet. And so that's pretty much all Brancaster.
Yeah.
And I guess that's more or less the episode. So what were your best parts?
I'm kind of going back and forth on Thomas, because I like Thomas in this episode. Like, he's just like, I'll do something for Lady Mary. I'll knock this guy down a peg. That's fine. But then he goes a little bit too far.
Yeah.
So let's actually take Thomas off the list. But Violet, I really like her telling that story. I liked her being supportive of Isabel and all that stuff. That was nice. Rose and Atticus, especially Rose. Rose is awesome in this episode. Like, she gets to save Lord Cinderby, and that just kind of, it just works out really well. Robert talking to Edith, I really like basically being like, I'm not an idiot, dude. And also just Robert in general this episode, except for when he's yelling at Cora before he reveals about the potential condition. But yeah. And then Bertie, I just love Bertie. Henry, I love Henry. I love them more later, obviously. But yeah, they're great. Hughes and Carson are great. Molesley and Baxter are great. What about you?
So I don't know why I didn't write down Molesley and Baxter. I think they're great in this episode as well. I actually wrote down Thomas on this. I meant to put Tom Branson, because, you know,
I think Tom
in this is really good. I love Robert in this episode. I think he's very, very funny. I like the introduction to Henry and the introduction to Bertie. Rose and Atticus are great. Hughes and Carson, I love that they're getting together finally. It's a little goofy, but whatever. And I like that there's finally some resolution to this bullshit with Anna and Bates. So
sure.
Yeah, what were your worst parts?
Stole, he's just awful.
Yeah.
The Russians, formerly known as Prince and Princess, I don't care about their storyline.
I didn't even write them down as the worst part.
Exactly, you forget. Anna in prison in general, I'm just like, why are we here? What are we doing? And also, what the fuck is this whole molestation watch
reveal
report thing? Why is that happening?
Yeah.
Larry Gray being a dick to Isabel. Like, let your father be happy. It's not like you are still living at your father's house. Who fucking cares if he gets married to somebody else? You don't have to spend, even if you hate the person, you don't have to spend any time with them. Fuck you. Sprat and Danka, I don't give a shit. And Bates being a dumbass and just being like, I'm gonna confess to the murder. And then, I mean, like, I understood his idea, but I'm just like, dude, you've already been like You've already gotten away, and then running away. I'm just like, dude, you're on the run from the police. This is Tom season three. What are you doing? But it's a reverse Tom in season three because he goes to Ireland. Anyway, go ahead.
All I put down were Lord Cinderby, who, this whole having an affair and having a child and covering it up bullshit. And he's
Oh
an
yeah, Lord Cinderby. I'm
ass. And he's
sorry, I
an ass.
completely forgot about that.
Stoll is a huge ass. I really can't stand him. I hated Danka, and I hate Sprat, and that's pretty much all I wrote down. So yeah. What was your grade for this episode?
I gave it an A. I mean, it's a nice finale. I like it. I like it so much better than the rest of the season.
I think that's part of it, is like in context, this is an A. Like on its own, it's
It's
more of an A
fine, but like
minus,
in
but it's good
context,
in
it's
context.
yeah, I was thinking A minus, but then I was just like, no, this is better.
Yeah, it's
And
better than the
then
last
and
episode,
it
so
sets
yeah.
up a lot of fun stuff for season six. And so I'm excited for that. So let's rank the seasons as they are right now.
Oh, come on.
We already know.
You know how
Season
this
two, season
goes.
one,
One,
season
season
three,
three,
season
season
four,
four, and
season
season
five.
five.
Let's see
Yep.
where season six ends up. I'm
Yeah,
curious.
that actually
That's the
is gonna
bigger
be
question.
right. So we are gonna be heading into season six, and we're rolling to the end here, people. You need to get excited. We are definitely excited, and we are looking forward to sharing it with you, sharing some cocktails with you or mocktails or whatever. And actually, you by the end of this, you might be able to have a
Probably not. It's not going to take that long, I don't
cocktail.
think.
We're close though. Anyway, so somebody's got a birthday that's going to be coming up, and that's very exciting.
I don't know whether or not I'm going to switch to non-alcoholic drinks for the, but there might be occasions where I will. It
We'll
might.
see. We shall see. In any case, we are looking forward to sharing all of our experiences with you, our love of Downton Abbey, obviously, and we hope you join us. And cheers.
Cheers.